I'm going to take a little break from doing the series. I've been doing a lot of series lately, and I know the last one on sin kind of took its toll on a couple of you, so I'm going to try to preach a few funner ones today. We're going to talk about faith today, amen? That's always fun. Praise God. So, you know, have you ever started out in your life with great passion, but somewhere along the way, your fervor just got lost? You know, you just lost that passion. And, you know, I think we've all done that in certain endeavors that we've tried to enter into. And, you know, I've always found in my life it's easy to start something, but it's hard to finish it and keep it going sometimes. That's when, you know, it takes a little bit of effort. You know, a lot of times there's a break between the time you say amen and there you see the answer, right? So it's that process, that time in between. So the Bible tells us that if we want to get the prize, then we're going to have to finish the race and kind of finish what we started. So 2 Corinthians 5:7 kind of gives us a little bit of insight. What the Lord wants for us to see is the fact that, you know, in this process of the life that you and I live, it says that we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Let's pray. Father, we bring ourselves to you today. We thank you so much, Lord, as we offer up this sacrifice of praise today and we give you our lives, Lord. We just thank you that we want to honor you with everything that we say and do. We thank you so much for the purposes and the plans that you've imparted to each of us in our inner man. And Lord, we know that you're going to give us the grace and the strength that we need to follow through. But Lord, we just need to surrender our will to you. And right now, I just surrender my will to the will, that the plan that you have for my life, and I yield to that gift that you put inside of me, Lord, and I pray that you use it for your glory and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, we're just going to break this scripture down. It's kind of a small little passage, but it has a lot of potential, shall we say, in our life and what it is that you and I can do. To be able, as we're left down there on this earth, you know, after you get saved, there's a lot of life to live. And, you know, we can go through life and then all of a sudden all the things that come against us can really mess with our mind. And it can hold us back really from God's best. I believe we don't have to wait to heaven to get some of that good stuff that God has for us. I believe the good stuff we can have today. And so it's up to us to be able to appropriate them things by faith to be able to receive them in the manner that God wants for us to have. So the first part of this passage, it says we walk. Simply, we walk. Okay, what do we got to do? To me, that shows motion or action. I find that a lot of times we are in the process of waiting on God, and our concept in our mind of waiting on God is setting, just waiting. And then after 6 months or a year, we see nothing happening. So then we give up. But I want us to see today that we have to step out. We have to do something. We need to be busy in the things of God if we want to start to see God start to move in our life. And as we start to appropriate these things by faith and take them, you know, out of the realm of the unseen and bring them down into the seen, which is what God wants for us to do, we need to be active in the things of God. And there's a lot of things that we can be busy about, but I believe sometimes, you know, we spend a lot of time just sitting on the sidelines, maybe watching other people, wondering, wow, God must like them better than me because they're doing these things and they're involved and, I just got nothing. You know, so we end up being frustrated with our walk. And then, you know, I just found out, I tell people this, you got to get off the couch. Amen. There's a lot of people sitting on the couch right now, or some of them might even be in bed. Just sitting on the couch, have no passion, no determination in their life. And then they wonder why everybody else is blessed and they're not. I got the answer right here. We have to step out. It says we walk by faith. That means we have to be moving. We have to be going after God. You know, it's easier. You've always heard to steer a big ship once it's moving. You know, when I was a kid, I was raised and drove a car that did not have power steering. And for some of you young people, the power steering thing is a lot of things. Sometimes we take for granted, and especially some of them old tractors. You know, you're out there and you're just fighting that wheel, especially if you're standing still and, you know, you got yourself in a pickle and you can't, you know, move, and you got to kind of turn that wheel to get out of there. And you're just fighting that wheel because you're fighting the friction of the tire, and you're doing it by your own strength. But see, then some wise man invented power steering, where hydraulics is involved, and you can just turn with your finger what used to take a lot of strength. And so what I found, though, with the old way is the fact that, but if you take that old tractor and you start to move it and you try to turn that wheel, it's very easy. And see, that's what it's like with God. When you and I are living for God and going for God, if we're moving, it's easy for God to steer us. But a lot of times, if we're just sitting around and we're doing nothing, it's hard for God to get through to us because we're not doing anything. We're not really tapped into Him. And God has put a gift inside of each and every one of us, and I want us to see that. There's something special and unique that God created you for, and it's in you. And God wants to reveal it to you, but you need to be moving to be able to see it come out. And once we understand that, how God does things, it's really not that complicated. But see, there's that process of walking by faith, and not by sight. Now, a lot of times we hear from God, maybe God speaks to us some way, either by a scripture or by, you know, a witness in our spirit or whatever. And then we start to move in the process, you know, God may be telling me to go this direction. Well, then I don't hear nothing for a while. So after going this direction a while, then all of a sudden, I wonder if I heard from God. Well, maybe I better go back. Well, you go back there and God's not there. Because God already told you to get over there, right? Then we wonder. Well, fortunately, God's a loving God, and He knows we're kind of goofy, right? We know He knows we do stupid things, and sometimes we get lost. Anybody ever been lost? We all have, haven't we? You know, and God's not going to leave us hanging or, you know, beat on us to teach us a lesson. That's not how He works. But one thing that we need to do is we need to be determined. And this sometimes is a personality trait that is in some people and more than others, but it can be developed. And to me, to be determined is something that you have to be a decision maker, and then you need to ride that decision and just go for it no matter what. Now, with saying that, there is a disclaimer that if you miss it, you got to be teachable a little bit. But I'm not talking about being discouraged just because things don't happen as quick as you want. Now, one of the greatest gifts that God's given you other than salvation is the gift of self-determination. We each have that gift because we are created by God. And it's that gift of self-determination where God has given us the right to choose. Now, with that right to choose, you and I need to get to the place where we learn how to choose wisely. You know, God's not going to make the decisions for you. He's going to give you the information that you need. And He's going to, you know, and if people's praying for you, I hope you have people praying for you. That's going to help. You know, it's going to try to keep you in an atmosphere where God is really leading you. But yet, the bottom line is, you have to choose. God's not going to make you get saved. God's not going to make you be obedient. It's better. But He's not going to make you do that because if He did that, He would take away the gift of self-determination. Your right to choose, which is free will. And He'll never do that for you. That's why it's up to each and every one of us to stay in contact and close proximity to God so that we can, get to the place where He has revealed things to us. Now, staying moving and motivated is a hard thing to do. That's the hardest part. And I'll be honest, that's where church comes in. Number one, you come and, you know, you have a pastoral gift speaking over you, encouraging you. Number two, you have your brothers and sisters all around you, you know, and you're encouraging each other, helping each other to stay strong. You know, those who choose not to connect, usually are the ones that fall the first. Because there's nobody there to help him. And there's a lot of scripture. We won't go into that now. But it's important for you to open yourself up and to connect with other people so that you can get to the destination, the place that God wants you to be. Now, you know, in our American mindset, you know, we're taught, you know, to do it individually. Individual accomplishments are great. You know, but most people, that have done great individual accomplishments usually would trade that accomplishment in for a team title, something that they have done with others. There's something that is fulfilling in your and my life when we do it with other people. We're created that way. We can't get around it. No matter how many things you do on your own and how many attaboys or attagirls you may get in life, there's nothing like doing something with other people that is great for God. That's where you're going to be the happiest. Well, next, after we walk, how do you walk? Well, we walk by faith. You walk by faith, and you know that's a catchphrase that that we use from time to time. And you know, to me, when you walk by faith, you know it has to be a worthy cause. It has to be something that God's into and wanting us to be able to accomplish to help His kingdom, to grow His kingdom, to do things. So to me, it's not a fleshly endeavor. It's not something that we do by our own glory. Something that'll get our name on a building or something like that, or some big trophy or title. But it's something that we want to do. We want to walk by faith, because there's a time, you know, as we know, and that passage is sandwiched in, you know, if you look at 2 Corinthians right there, it's talking about the idea of absent from the body, present with the Lord, meaning if you kick the bucket, you're going on to be with Jesus if you're a Christian, right? You know, just to put it bluntly, you know, your spirit and soul goes on to be with Him. But it talks about being while you're down here, you're not with Him in the sense of living with Him, but He does come to live inside of us. And so that's where we need the faith part in being able to get what we want to do. Now, a lot of people think faith is just some sort of blind stab in the dark. But to me, it's a well thought out plan that is based on the Word of God. Because God reveals in the Word enough information for you and I to be able to live a life of faith. Meaning what I mean by that is trusting Him, being in relationship with somebody that we cannot see, that only that sometimes we feel from time to time. Not about you, but sometimes we feel the presence of God. You know, sometimes it happens during worship here, or maybe in your prayer time, or whatever the case may be, or maybe you're, you know, how many's been touched by something that you hear on TV or something like that? All of a sudden, you know, you guys, you got to wipe your tear away real quick, you know, because you don't want nobody to see you've been got touched there or something, right? You know, I'm not talking old Yeller stuff here, you know, back when you was a kid, but I'm talking, you know, there's a lot of good stuff out there that can touch you, you know. Well, that's maybe God doing something in your heart, trying to soften that hardened heart. Because He wants us to be able to be sensitive to Him. See, God is a spirit. Well, spirit beings kind of communicate in the realm of the spirit. Well, just so happens we are a spirit, right? We're a spirit, have a soul, live in a body. So that's why we need to be born again, because it helps to open the communication lines. Those clogged arteries, shall we say, that's been clogged up due to sin, that when we become born again, that we have that new life. So now it's opened us up to a new realm that we can start to live by faith, meaning trusting God for everything that happens in our life, and that's where we need to get. Now, I've told this story before, but I get a kick out of it, so please humor me. You know, sometimes on Wednesday nights after I drop the kids off in the church van, you know, I come in to check things out, you know, because you never know. A light's on, a stool might be running or something. But usually for fun, since I designed this church in my mind, and I won't turn the lights on when I walk around in here, because I know where everything's at, because we built it. Many of us put hours and hours of labor in this church. I'll be honest, I've only walked into the water fountain once. I hung a little bit over to the side. I was heading down that way, and I could have swore I was over to the right a little bit more, but bam, now that's a rude awakening. And it's handy you're leaving the lights off, because I can tell if a light's been left on, so it's faster for me to do. But see, you're walking and you can't see where you're going, but you're just trusting. And see, that's what it's like for a Christian as we're down here and we're living for God, we're walking with God, we're wanting to serve God in His kingdom, and every now and then we'll get a clarity and we'll start to see a picture maybe of what God's doing. But then after we see that picture, then we start to light out and we start to walk by faith. And we start to walk with Him, and we start to learn to trust Him, because there's going to be some, you know, some times. It was kind of like on the interstate. You know, there's not a turnoff everywhere on the interstate, is there? If you're heading a long ways, you may go miles before you see another exit. Well, sometimes if you're walking by faith, following God, it might be a couple miles before you get another touch from God. You know what I mean? So that's how we develop that trust. See, I know that there's another turnoff up there because I've driven the interstate long enough. And just like I know through a process of time of following God, I know that God's not going to leave me hanging. But along the way, He's going to reveal Himself to me again to let me know if I'm right or if I need to change direction a little bit. I trust Him. I trust that God's going to do that, and that comes by experience. Now, what the difference is the idea is that we need to learn how to evaluate everything in the light of eternity. In the light of eternity. Because we are eternal beings, right? We're going to live forever. Now, your body, no. Body gets left behind. But your spirit and soul is eternal. It's going to last forever. It was created that way. We were created in the image of God. And that's the part that is. And so as we start to go through this life, it's the inner person that's the most important. So then the decisions that we start to make, you know, have you ever noticed things that were important to you when you were, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, as you get a little bit older, it's not that important anymore, especially after you've had kids and things, you know, you start to see that, you know, there's a reward with sacrifice. You know, when you're young, you don't want to sacrifice. It's mine. I want it. I'm keeping it. But then when you get kids, you start to sacrifice and give things that you normally never would have given before. And see, that comes by experience and as you start to learn. And the same with that when we evaluate things in eternity. Some of the things that you and I go after here in this world aren't really that important in the scope of eternity, in the scope of what everybody is doing now. Now, many people here know how to read a map, right? You know, I was just talking to somebody the other day, you know, the difference. I can't remember who we was talking to, but, you know, a lot of them will pull out their phone. Like my kids, they just have a strong trust level in that phone getting them to where they need to go. Like Kaylee going from here to Tulsa, she never looked at a map ahead of time. Now me, I like to look at the map and get a picture in my mind kind of where I'm going. That's just how I roll. But they will take off driving, they'll plug in their address, and they'll hit that little drive, that little car button on Google Maps, and it'll give them verbal commands every step of the way. I just can't do that. It's not me. I mean, I do it a little bit if last resort, you know, but for the most part, I have to be able to see it. But, you know, what I've found out now is that you can't really trust maps. Now, if I had a map here, and you and I were going to go, let's say, to Tulsa. And I have a big road map of the United States, and I hand it to you, and you're facing, you know, south instead of north. How many know you end up in Minnesota before you get your bearings, right? Boy, it's getting cold now. I must be going the wrong direction, right? Why? Because maps are good, but they're not foolproof. You know what never fails? A compass. A compass always points north. We need to have a moral compass inside. We need to have a compass of the Holy Spirit that'll tell us, you know, to get it. Then after you know know which way is north, man, that map's going to work fine. But you got to have that compass, that internal compass, something that's going to reveal to you if you're going the wrong direction. And that's what we need to do if we're walking by faith. Now, the idea of to live by faith is that, you know, to me, faith is a commodity in the kingdom of God. And if you want to make a transaction in the kingdom of God, you have to have faith because that's how God deals. He doesn't deal totally with begging, although begging sometimes will work. Has anybody ever begged their way to get something from God? We all probably have. But primarily, you know, faith is something that we use to complete a transaction. Now, most of us probably have bank accounts. Now, a lot of you probably use auto deposit, right? Where your check or something goes directly to your account. Well, with the same thing, you probably have auto withdrawal. You know, some of your bills are paid automatically just out of your account. Well, think about this. If you stop putting money in, what happens in a process of time? Those auto payments are going to go until there's nothing left in that account. That's why it's the same with faith. If we're not continually putting deposits in our life, building up our faith, then we're going to get overdrawn and we're going to get wore out, and our faith level is going to be depleted, where we don't maybe feel that we can go another step. And that's what happens sometimes, because we forget to keep putting in. Did you know you're one of the greatest investments on this earth? So you need to invest in yourself. You need to invest in your own walk with God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So you got to keep putting the word in. You got to keep staying built up. Have you ever noticed, I've seen a lot of people, you know, when they get disconnected with God, maybe they get their nose out of joint because they get offended or something happens. And then before you know it, they pull back and, you know, they don't keep putting the word in. And before you know it, they're really cranky. You know what I mean? And they're very, they get mad real easy, right? They take everything the wrong way. Why? Because they're living in the flesh and not in the spirit no more. They've stopped making those investments in their life, which keeps the flesh under control. And before you know it, they're heading the wrong direction. Well, the good news is we can correct that wrong direction and get back to where God wants us. Now, not by sight is the last thing. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, here's where we get to this place. You know, you and I were never, ever, 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 ever meant to live a life that is circumstance-driven. But yet we are. What I mean by that is that we live our life according to the circumstances around us. And every decision that we make is based on what we feel right now. And that's what gets us in trouble with the things of God. Because we cannot make a quality decision just based on circumstances, because circumstances change and circumstances lie. Now, if you have circumstantial evidence, for the most part, it will not stand up in a court of law. It takes more to get convicted. But yet we allow circumstantial evidence to convict us in the court of our minds, because we allow it to trick us. And we get to thinking that we're you know, maybe along the way that we're going to have lack, or we're never going to follow through, and we're never going to accomplish what God wants for us, that God doesn't really care, and we're going to miss out on all the things. Because that's what circumstances try to do. They try to get us to doubt God. That's the enemy's greatest tactic. He wants to get you to doubt God. Why? Because if you trust God, you're dangerous. Everybody say, I'm dangerous. Amen. As we trust God, we become more dangerous, because we stop living out of the circumstances realm and we start to live in the realm of faith, and we're following a God that we can't see based on the knowledge that we have on the Word, on what He has revealed to us, and then we start to do great things in His name. We start to, you know, witness. We start to, you know, love on people that are unlovable. All these things. So the enemy doesn't want us that, so that's why he tries to change the circumstances all the time. You know, when we do that, you know, he tries to get us to doubt God, and, you know, if we can't doubt, you know, doubt His existence, that there is a God, and if he can't do that, then he tries to get us to doubt that God cares. You know, God, you know, where's God at in your life right now? You're having these problems. Where's God? He doesn't really care about you. You know, all these problems you're having, see, God doesn't really love you. And see, that's what Satan tries to lie to us about. And see, that's the process of walking by faith and not by sight, when we put away all those lies that the enemy brings against us. Then he tries to get us to think that God's never going to help you. But see, that's a lie. God loves you. He wants to bring you up to Him, into the place He wants. Now, I'm going to, you know, what I believe by that is just do it. We just got to keep doing it. Just do it, just do it, just do it. Now, I want to read a story about somebody many of you may have heard of. His name is John Wesley. John Wesley was one of the founders of the Methodist movement. And this is a quote from his diary. Sunday morning, May the 5th, preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday, May 5th, p.m., preach at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12th, preach at St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday p.m., May 12th, preach at St. George's. Kicked out again. Sunday a.m., May 19th, preached at St. Somebody Else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May the 19th, preached on the street. Kicked off the street. Sunday a.m., May the 26th, preached in the meadow. Chased out of the meadow by a bull that was turned loose during the service. Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, preached at the edge of town. Kicked off the highway. And then Sunday p.m., June the 2nd, in the afternoon service, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came to hear. Just think if he would have quit. Just think about it. You walk by faith and not by sight. He knew that he was supposed to preach. Now we call it, he got the left foot of fellowship at many churches, didn't he? Instead of the right hand of relationship. And sometimes you and I are going to get that left foot of fellowship. We're going to get misunderstood. We're going to get hurt. You know, I'm sure it was very, you know, hard when, you know, you believe that God's called you to preach and then you show up and they ask you not to come back again. That hurts. But it happened. But due to his persistence of just do it, the Methodist movement was started, which, you know, through church history, there's different movements came out of the pile, and then there were the followers on fire for God, and that's happened all through church history. Now, if you and I would have done that, a lot of times we'd have wondered if we were called and sent or just up and went, right? Sometimes that happens. You know, we, you know, have been on a lot of mission trips and we've lived overseas and, you know, sometimes the circumstances just don't look that good. And you just wonder, man, was this my idea or was this a God idea? You just walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you live by sight, you're never going to fulfill anything for God. You know, you and I, you and I live in a hostile environment. And this environment here wants to kill our dreams and our desires. That's what the enemy's up to. Like I said, inside of you, God has put something special and unique that you are supposed to accomplish. And it's Satan's job to try to make sure you don't do it. Just do it. Just do it. Walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we need to press on until we get the desired results that we want. So, we have a choice to make. Do we want to be circumstance-driven, or are we going to be faith-driven? The choice is ours. Let's pray.